When God called me into Christian education back in 1986, one of the things that he put in my heart was this love for young people to get educated in God's ways. But what I've seen recently and what has been occurring is that there's a decline in how we are teaching our children the scriptures of God. One of the things Mrs. Crutcher mentioned is we're not bad-mouthing public school, but the system is bad. It is heading toward more and more wokeness. It is heading more and more toward Antichrist. And so my charge for you this morning, or this evening now almost, is that we teach them the principles and the oracles of God. That's our mandate from God to our children. In other words, there's no escaping the great commandment that God has given us. We would not be able to have a Christian school without the church support or the staff that we have, because they're not there for a paycheck. They love your children. And one of the issues more and more that's been more important to me is I've seen the sad decline spiritually of our nation. I've seen the decline of our educational system and how they are teaching so many confusing doctrines to children that are throwing them off, right? The pronoun. Use the right pronoun of what I am. No, there's a young man and a young woman. And because of that, it gives me the urgency of why we have a Christian school. Christian schools are needed now. And one of the things, they're not alternatives, it's not a luxury, it's not something that's to be presented where it's just a good idea. In other words, it is a need now, needed in order to direct our children and the next generation. Okay, today in our secularist education in America, I want you to see, we have a world and life view that was not prevalent 50 to 100 years ago. In other words, it wasn't present. And with that, I tell you, what is that view? Well, the world and life without God. This is what they're instilling in our children, right? You see, when God is simply removed from a society, he doesn't just have to be denied. In other words, he just is ignored. And this is what's happening. They've taken him out of the schools. They've taken him out of the places where he makes an impact. When you have a child, remember, you've been given a mandate in Scripture to instruct these young lives in the image of Christ and in the principles of God. And I want you to take I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. And this is the charge he gave the parents of Israel. He says, always teach the word of God to my children. And look at how he put it in that context, because Israel had a tendency to always turn their backs on God, go to worship other idols, get involved with the worldly system, and they'd forget about God. And so God left this mandate that's called the Shema in Jewish culture. And the Shema was the verses that we're studying today from verses 4 to 9 of Deuteronomy 6. And he left them charge of how to apply the future generation with God's living word. And I want to take you there step by step through verses 6 to 9. And I'll make this quick because I know you guys have been very patient with us. But I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Look at what it says. These words which I am commanding you today, remember it's a mandate, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, does that give you a lot of spare time? The first point I want to give you in the Great Commandment is that it must be internalized in the heart. You must teach children who Jesus Christ is. In other words, who the Lord is. And one of the things he wanted to let the Israelites know, Yahweh was your God. Make sure that the children, the next generation, puts him and internalizes him in their heart. And so, how do we put that word of God in their hearts? They have to meet the Lord in a personal way. That's one of the things that we do in a Christian school. We teach young people to have a personal walk with Christ. We teach them to admit their sinners. We teach them to believe in what Jesus did in replacement death when he died in their place on the cross. And then we teach them to confess him with the mouth and believe with the heart that he died and rose again, and he saved them from their sins and death. You have to internalize the word of God, and we have to treasure the word of God in our hearts. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, said the psalmist, that I may not sin against you. Okay? So one of the things is the word of God has to be treasured in every heart, every young life that we're entrusted by God to disciple. And we have to teach them to walk in the Lord's ways. Now, what's happened to our nation is sad because there's a decline there. And more of the generations to come are not believing in who God is. So if a nation is going to remain strong, if a nation is going to remain powerful, it has to have God as its centerpiece. If not, it will decline eventually and become destroyed. We're heading that way, guys. And as parents, God has instructed us first to internalize the Word of God in the hearts of our young people, of our children. And see, America used to be blessed in days past. But if you notice, with all the corruption that's going on, with all the immorality, with all the antichrist teachings in school, with all the secularism, postmodernism, all these isms being taught to our children, they're even being placed in positions where they're getting confused. Like Mrs. Crutcher said, she said, there's a lot of great teachers in public school that are Christian, but it's very hard when your hands are tied to be an educator, especially of godly principles. You can't do it. Those days are gone. And so I sympathize with those teachers. My heart goes out to them. But we've got a duty to do as a church to instruct our children. That's why we have a Christian school. And I'm very thankful that you guys supported alongside me. Because these are the next generations, the remnant that will be left after everything else runs amok because of their antichrist ideologies. And so today I remind you, okay, in the past 200 years of our nation, education in this country was explicitly Christian. And one of the things, for example, in respect to literacy, in the late 1700s, John Adams observed that to find an illiterate man in New England was as rare as a comet. Everybody who started education based on God's principles could read and write. They were literate. In the era of the founding fathers, where education was explicitly Christian, there was widespread literacy. However, with the rise of the modern day educational system, what have they been teaching our children? Okay, they've been teaching secularism, evolution, right? And all these things have confused our young people, and illiteracy has skyrocketed. In 2023, the U.S. Department of Education reported more than 77 million Americans lack simple literacy. That means reading and writing. 773 million adults worldwide are considered illiterate. Take a look at how massive this issue is, this problem. And that is with dumbing down a generation. If they can do it, they can control them. And this is one of the issues that's very pertinent today that we have to be ready for. At four-year colleges, 20% of freshman students enroll in remedial courses. 20%. That ought not to be, right? So without the Word of God being placed in the heart first, a person cannot change. And that's why it must be internalized first. So that's our job as parents. What did he tell us to do? Make sure you make that word real in their hearts so they treasure it and they know how to battle in this fallen world. They will not be able to stand up in this world without God's word and live a righteous life. So that's point number one. Point number two, it must be communicated to the children. Look at verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Not a lot of cushion time, right? To relax. What the Lord is saying when he left the Shema, these orders, was that you must teach the Word of God to your children every opportunity that you get. When you rise up, during the middle of the day, in the evenings, you must teach God's Word to your children. And one of the reasons for that is that God wanted Israel to make sure they mentioned all the mighty works he did throughout their history to show them that he was the Lord, right? And so it's important to keep on passing the word to our children. What did he say? You shall teach them diligently, right? It takes effort. It takes sweat, right? It takes a lot of commitment to be able to provide our young people with the education of God's word. And it shows how important it is to keep passing that word to all generations. Look at Psalm 78, verses 4 to 6. We're to tell our young people, the generation to come, never forget who God is. We will not conceal them from our children, but tell them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. He always wanted Israel to mention, look, I've always been with you. I've never left you. But also make sure you put that in the hearts of the young people so that they will never forget me. What happens to a generation that forgets about the Lord? The nation is cursed. And that's the plan of the enemy. Okay? The reason for this is so that we will not make the same mistakes that our ancestors made when they forgot about God. We forget about God, our nation goes down the tubes. This is the great responsibility, the great commandment that God has put over us. How many of you understand there's a spiritual battle for the souls of our children? There's a great amount of battle. And spiritually, the enemy wants to rob us of our children and their faith in God. And one of the things is, when they took school prayer out and the Bible and the Ten Commandments out and they removed them, one of the things that demonic forces took over that educational system. And now they're confusing children as to whether how they're born, their gender. They're confusing them as to what is right and what is wrong. What is good they call evil. What is evil they call good. Now that we have this alternative for Christian education, one of the things that I want you to know and recognize, because of the removal of God from public schools, the spiritual consequences that are heavy now. What has happened since they've done that? First of all, public schools have been torn by drugs, alcohol, sex during school hours, violence, gay lifestyles that is practiced on campuses, shootings, killings, all these things that were never in existence before. But because the covering of God has been taken away, the consequences are very heavy. SAT scores and ACT scores have plummeted. There's a satanic agenda to win over the minds and the hearts of our students and the next generation. And the enemy is trying to get parents, teachers, leaders to give up, to quit teaching God's word or principles to our children. But look at what Ephesians 6:4 says. Let's go there real quick. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the world, the Lord. We've forgotten that. And this is something I want to tell parents today. You are to instruct. You're instructors. You're trainers. The children should not train you. There's a lot of children that call the shots in homes. Where they want to be, where they want to go, who they want to go with, and that's not their job. The job of the parent is to instruct all children, if they're Christian, in the ways of God. And they don't have an option. When my kids were put in Christian school, they were tempted because they love sports for me to put them in public school because of the sports passion. I said, no. I couldn't buy a new car because, not that I couldn't, but I said, I'm going to invest it in education for my kids. The issue is priority. Do I really value Christian education for my child? Or am I going to take them to Egypt and let Egypt educate them and mess them up? You have precious jewels in your family that God has instructed you to bring up in the fear and admonition of God and His word. Do not go back to Egypt. Egypt has nothing good to offer. How many of you remember your BC days before you had Christ? It brought nothing good. Oh, sure, it's like the people from Egypt, right? We ate steaks back then. Moses, you brought us out here to die. No, we never had any good stories to tell with how the world ruined us. It was because of His grace, though, remember, that He saved us. Don't forget that, to pass the baton on to the next generation, okay? Job, how many of you remember Job in the Bible? He cried out for his children. He consecrated them because he knew they weren't doing well with the Lord. And maybe today you're having a struggle with your child and you're saying, what am I going to do? Well, first thing, submit to the Lord. And then he will direct your paths. See, the issue more than anything as a parent, it's going to cost you investment, sweat, toil, right? And one of the things is you have to keep going because the enemy's going to put in your mind, send them over there. It's much better. The bank programs are much bigger. Their funding is much bigger. What good is funds if you lose your soul? There must be a time when you draw the line and say, man, I got to give up stuff. If cost is the only reason I'm not putting them in there, it's because I'm not prioritizing. Because I'd rather take the bus and know that my children are getting educated with God's word than to sell out. And to say, but I really want this new vehicle. And if you can do both, great. That's awesome. But there has to come a time when you say, I want to invest in their lives eternally. And this is through Christian education. We have to instruct them in the way they should go. Look at Job and what he did for his kids. Job chapter 1, verse 5. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings, in other words, blood as well, not just sweat, to the number of them all, to all his kids. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Just Job did, and notice what it says, continually. As parents, we continually have to be covering our children in the blood of Christ. We have to be sweating over our children continually. Why? Because the world ain't going to care for them the way that God can care for them. And so one of the issues here, more than anything, no matter what else you do, as a parent, not only are you a trainer, but you're supposed to be leading your children in prayer daily, just like Job, and consecrating them. Lord, use them for your glory and honor. And I'm sorry, but the public school system has gone way overboard. There's no return from that. We need to make a stand as Christian parents and say, enough. My children are not going to receive those indoctrinations that are foolish in the Word of God and in the sight of God. I'm going to fight for these children because they're not mine, they're God's. And I'm going to surrender. So, the great commandment that he gave us, right, to pass on to the future generations his word, must be internalized first. We got to get them to know Christ because that's what changes them. Then it must be communicated to the children. Whether it's in the morning, noonday, night, we are investing Bible time with them, scriptures, Bible studies. And then lastly, the great commandment has to be exhibited in public. Okay, look at verses 8 and 9, and I'll close with this because I want to get you out of here quick. Okay, verses 8 and 9 must be exhibited publicly. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And this is one of the things. They had to exhibit it publicly. Jewish people carried phylacteries on their foreheads, okay, and on their wrist. And what it had was the Shema, verses 4 to 9 of Deuteronomy 6, in them. So in the front of their house, they had mezuzahs. And those mezuzahs were filled with the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. So then publicly, they had to be seen in front of your house and wherever you walked. And can you imagine our children, right? The children had to view the word of God on their parents, on their foreheads, on their wrists. They had to always see that dad and mom were, where dad was walking with the Lord. And so one of the issues here, more than anything, is that's what we have to teach our children. In a fallen world, we need them to exhibit that God is real in their lives and they not be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. In this fallen world, it's going to get tougher. And we've got to show them to exhibit publicly that love for Christ that they have. Why? Because there's a hurting world out there. There's a world looking for answers, and guess who can provide it? Our children to the next generation. And if they don't bow down to the system of this world and they stand up firm for Christ, they're going to be able to lead a lot of people into the kingdom of God. But the day to play around with our education, with our children's education, is over. We must be passionate about educating them in God's ways. So when they grow old, they will not depart. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you, when you eat or drink or whatever you do, Do all for the glory of God. Teach them that. That publicly they will say, we love the Lord. One thing I want you to do today before we close is understand the pressure that's on Christian schools. There's always a battle against the world system. They want to close us down because that way they depopulate the earth of more Christians. And so one of the issues that has come up more and more in our life is that we have to be able to stand up and thank the Lord for what we do have. I love that we have a Christian school. I love the staff that we have. And one of the things is because we're constantly coming under attack by the enemy, we need prayer. Our staff needs prayer continually because we're battling the enemy. And there's not one new adventure we don't face every day. When someone isn't behaving or something's going wrong or something's, you know, getting us, trying to get us divided in the body as teachers. And so we treasure your prayers more than anything to cover us because we're continually discipling your children and leading them down the path of righteousness. See, we're getting hit also because the system doesn't like that we don't hire homosexual teachers. We won't. That's something we will not tolerate. And so they come against us that way. See, we're under a lot of pressure because there's an enemy who wants us closed and because he wants to rob the next generation of God's word. Please pray for our school. Please pray for our staff. We fight against the forces of evil every single day. And you know what? It's expensive to have a Christian school. It will drain the church's funds. And if you're not careful, it'll take your mind off the vision. So many people consider a Christian school an expense. I don't see it that way. I see it as a need. And one of the things that God will always provide when it's his ministry. And that's why one of the things that we do when we work together, we fight against those forces together with our parents and we pray together. But God has to be the center of an education. There is no other way that our young people can get educated the right way apart from God. And most of all, we need God's help in order to run the Christian school. So publicly, we proclaim the Lord. We're not ashamed. We're going to keep doing it. And God will continue to provide because it's his school, not ours. But they're also his children, not ours. Every staff member will give an account one day for how we treat those children. And it's very important. So I love the Christian school. I love the staff that he's given me. I want the staff to come up here. We're going to pray for you guys. And just come up here in front. And as a church, I want you all to stand up as we close. And I want to share one last verse with you in Psalm 127, verse 1. We have a big staff who has big hearts for your children. And in Psalm 127, verse 1, I'm going to share that scripture with you. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds the Christian school, I don't want it. And unless the Lord runs the Christian school, I don't want it. Because we need him. And it's because of these people up front right here that we have a Christian school. They're not working for paychecks. They're working because they love your children. And if you've never had that experience before where your teacher knows your child so well, you're missing out on a lot. Please think about putting them in our school. There's registration paperwork in front where you can get involved and say, you know what, I want to put my children in school next year. I don't want Egypt to educate them anymore. I want the Lord to educate them. Okay? And then we're going to pray for our staff right now, and then I want the worship group to come up after they're done, and then we will close up with one more song. Father, we come together so blessed that we do need you, Father. And you've left a great commandment to us as parents. Help us to prioritize the value of Christian education, Lord, so that we will not lose focus on how important it is for us and how we have to be parents who are sensitive to what's going on in the world around us. We don't want our kids fed those woke doctrines, Lord, those philosophies of the world and humanism and all the other trash that they're teaching young minds. Lord, we want them guided by your word, the way your word says. That whether it's in the morning or at noon or in the evening, that, Lord, they will be receiving constant affirmation from your word. And that you will bless our parents for doing that. Father, grandparents also, Father. We never stop teaching, Lord. We continue, Father, to try and feed your children your word so that they in turn will, Father, not depart from you as they get older. So cover this precious staff you've placed here. Guard their health. Provide for them, Lord, and continue to provide for their homes. And then continue to use them in the lives of our young people with words of life. We go back to school tomorrow. Lord, we want to be charged up, ready to go. And Father, we want to have our weapons ready. And so bless their marriages, bless their homes, Father. Bless everything that they have for their faithful commitment to Christian education. And then, Father, as we fall deeper and deeper in love with you, we know there's no other way, truth, or life. You are our everything, Lord. And so I pray blessing upon the school staff, the school, and Father, your provision for it. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray that you will stir up new parents to come alongside to instruct these young people in the great commandment that you have placed over all of us. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. Bless our congregation as well. Bless their children and protect them, Lord, as they continue to walk in faith, Father, covering their children as well. So we come together giving you all honor, all glory, all praise. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you, staff, for your hard work. God bless you guys. And ladies.